Hello everyone, we're reading from the book Shlavei Sulam, part 4, volume 4. This part is called Holidays, Pesach. This is page 142, the article, What is, for I have hardened his heart in the work. Again, Shlavei Sulam, volume 4. This is section Moadim, page Moadim, which holidays, page 142. The holidays Pesach, name of the article, What is, for I have hardened his heart in the work. We should ask about the verse, For I have hardened his heart. Why doesn't it say that the Creator hardened Pharaoh's heart immediately at first? Instead, we see that only Pharaoh admitted and said, The Lord is righteous. And me and my people, I and my people are wicked, then it says, For I have hardened his heart. And also all interpreters ask, Why did the Creator took the choice from Pharaoh? It is known that the order of the work is that we begin the work in order to be rewarded. And to the extent that the body hears that it will be rewarded, or else it will get pain, this guides the person to work in keeping Torah and Mitzvot. Meaning, to the extent that one believes in reward and punishment, to that extent one has motivation to keep Torah and Mitzvot in every detail. In this way, the person sees that he is advancing every single day, and that's why he enjoys his work, since he can see progress in the work. This follows the rule that one cannot do any work if one does not see progress in the work. This is like a person who studies some trade and sees that he is not progressing in this profession. Then he goes out and looks for a work that is easier for him. But without progress, it is impossible to do anything. This comes from the text that the Lord has created and performed. That's why there has to be progress in everything. Like a horse around the grindstone that turns around the whole day, but the truth is that it stands still in the same place the whole day. That's why its eyes have to be covered so that it doesn't see the truth, but rather to make it think that it is going different places every time. Meaning, even animals have to see progress in what they do. And any progress in the work appears only when one works in order to be rewarded. Whereas, when one begins to work in order to bestow, meaning when we want to reach adhesion with the Creator, which is equivalence of form, at which time one cannot regard one's acts, meaning although one sees that now he is doing more then he would normally do when he was working to be rewarded. Still, now he measures things differently, which is how much does one aim for one's acts to be in order to bestow and not for oneself. And then he can see how far he is from it. Although there are many ascents, meaning ascents in degree, in wanting to do everything for the Creator, this is only because one is awakened from above. Then he wants to be nullified before him as the nature of the candle before the torch. But afterwards, one descends from one's state and falls once more into self-love. And then he can see that every time, that he gets worse every time. Meaning, every time he sees how far he is from the work of bestowal. Until he oftentimes comes to a state of contemplating even the beginning, meaning why he got there in the first place. And one asks oneself, why, when he worked in order to receive reward, he had good taste in the work, meaning he prayed with desire and studied with desire. Now that he wants to give greater effort than he would when he was working in order to be rewarded, he sees that now he lacks the taste, the pleasure that he had then. And then one asks, now that I want to work in order to bestow, it should have been that I should have felt closer than when I was working for myself. But now I see that it is the opposite. Not only am I not progressing, I am going backwards. And the answer is, as Bala Sulam said, one must believe that everything one feels now, that he is farther from the Creator, that comes from above. Meaning, this is the hardening of the heart that the Creator gives in order for one to discover the real need. Meaning, to make one feel that without the help of God, he cannot exit the power of the will to receive for himself. Only the Creator alone can help. Meaning, just as the Creator gave him the nature of desire for receive for himself, he should now give him the second nature, called will to bestow, because there is no light without a kli, a vessel, called a need or a deficit. Meaning, the need is what gives the pleasure in the fulfillment. Meaning, if one gets fulfillment without a need for it, one cannot taste the real taste in the fulfillment. But this is if he gets this fulfilling before he has a need for it. He cannot use it, cannot take from it what it has. It turns out that the deficit is a part of the fulfillment, because one without the other doesn't go. It turns out that just as the fulfillment comes from above, so should the deficit, the need, be given from above. Thus, when one sees that now one is farther from the work in bestowal, it is given from above, because the need is a part of the fulfillment. Therefore, just as the fulfillment is given by the Upper One, so the need is given from the Upper One, by the Upper One. Now we can interpret the two questions we asked. One, why, after Pharaoh said, "The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked," did the Creator harden his heart and not before? And two, why was the choice taken from him? As it says, "For I have hardened his heart." The answer is, since in the beginning, when one begins the work, one should see that everything depends on him, on the person. And this is as long as he is working in order to be rewarded. At which time one can say, "The Lord is a righteous, and I and my people are wicked." Therefore, when a person wants to work in order to bestow, meaning reach adhesion with the Creator, then one must see the truth that it is impossible for a person to do, because it is against the nature in which one was born, and only God can give him the second nature. However, without the need, the deficit, there is no real taste in the fulfillment. That's why the Creator gives this hardening of the heart, so that one will feel the real desire, the full desire, the full deficit. Now we can understand that only afterwards did the Creator harden his heart, meaning after one begins the work in order to bestow, and not before. And also, why was there a need for the hardening of the heart? That is for another reason. If they hadn't felt the real deficit, they couldn't have received the real fulfilling, because there is no light without a vessel. Thus, the hardening of the heart wasn't against him, meaning to make him be distanced from the Creator. Quite the contrary, the hardening of the heart was to cause him to reach adhesion with the Creator. Thus we can see that the deficit one feels at being far from the Creator also comes from above, and not as an awakening from the side of the person. Now we can interpret what our sages said, in a place where there is not where there are no men, try and be a man. Where there are no people, try and be a person. We should interpret that in the work, that when one begins the work, at which time one begins to work in order to receive reward, and afterwards one sees that there are no people there, because in the work one learns everything about one person. It turns out that one sees that in one's heart there aren't people, but all the aspirations in one's heart are like beasts, that they do not know more than to seek out their own benefit. And he thinks of himself, "How can you say about the chosen people what it says, 'You have selected us from among all nations, you loved us,' when there is nothing more than a desire of a beast in the heart of the chosen people?" Our sages said about that, in a place where you see that there are no people in your heart, don't look at other people and how they behave, but try to be a person. Meaning, since you came to see the truth, that you have to be a person, not a beast, whereas other people have not come to know that, and there are no people in their hearts. Therefore, since they did not receive that knowledge, it is a sign they still don't belong to the individual work, which is the work in bestowal. This is the meaning of the words, in the place. Meaning, in the place where there is knowledge that there are no people, meaning in that person who received this knowledge, that person should try and be a person, not a beast. Therefore, generally speaking, one feels oneself complete. Meaning, he prays, he studies Torah, keeps mitzvot, and he only thinks he should do more. But he should not consider the quality of the work, since he thinks he must be doing everything in order to bestow. But now it turns out that when one feels that he is in deficit, meaning how immersed he is in self-love and how far he is from bestowal, that doesn't come from the person, but it is an awakening from above, meaning that from above one is notified about one's real state, how far it is from the Creator, how much one does not want to nullify oneself before Him. Meaning, when a person feels his baseness, he should believe that it comes to him from holiness. It is as it is written about Moses, he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. He saw that there was no man. And in the work we should interpret that precisely when one has the attribute of Moses, called Torah, then he can see how an Egyptian, meaning the will to receive for himself, he says that he is called Egyptian man. And with this force called Torah, one sees that he is smiting a Hebrew man, meaning that for the Hebrew, a man is called one who does not perform an act of a beast, meaning a man is called one who does not use the desires of the beast. That's the meaning of the words, he saw that there was no man. Meaning that by himself he will never become a man. This is because when a person has the attribute of Moses, who is considered Raya Mehemna, which is a loyal shepherd, which is the shepherd of faith for Israel, that strength awakens one to see the truth, that one will never attain the attribute of man by himself. And that's the meaning of the words, he saw that there was no man. That causes one to ask of the Creator to give him faith in the Creator, that by that he can come to adhesion with the Creator. However, after one acquires faith, this is still not complete. Although one is already called man and not a beast, but man should also attain Torah, that it is the Torah that completes a person, because one should reach the degree of the Torah and the Creator and Israel are one, because this is called the speaking, as it says about Moses, who said, and Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, I am not a man of words. In the work, we should interpret that he asked that it is not enough that he is already a man, but he wants to become a man of word, meaning attain the level of speaking called Torah, because it is the level, the speaking level, which is the Torah, that is considered completeness or wholeness. However, we should not forget that in the work there is right, which is the opposite of the left, meaning just as the left, when a person sees a greater deficit in himself, is better, because deficit is called the kli, a vessel, and therefore the greater deficit is called the greater kli. The same applies to the right, meaning the more one feels oneself complete, the greater kli he has, meaning just as one sees that he is filled with deficits, he can give a better prayer than a person who doesn't feel himself so faulty, and therefore his prayer is not so, does not come from that deep in the heart. It is the deficit, the need, that determines the measurement of the prayer. And so it is in the right, which is called that one should feel that there is completeness, to the extent that one feels whole, to that extent he can thank the Creator, meaning that the completeness one is in determines the measurement of the gratitude to the Creator. Therefore, one must seek advice how to see that he has completeness. However, one should make sure that the completeness is not built on falsehood. And we should ask, if one does not see any need for spirituality and is immersed in self-love, how can one tell oneself that he is complete? First, we should appreciate the connection we have with the Creator, meaning one should believe that the state one feels himself to be in, which is empty and denied of everything, meaning that one feels that in one's heart there is now no need for spirituality. Who gives him that feeling? Because generally speaking, one cares for what one doesn't have. He doesn't care for what he doesn't need. Therefore, we should ask, who gave him the concern for what he doesn't have? The answer is that the truth is that he does have an inner desire to come closer to the Creator. But this desire is not yet revealed to a great extent to make him need to seek out advice how to fulfill that desire. That is why one should be happy about it, because still he has a desire for spirituality, whereas other people have no interest whatsoever with spirituality. And when a person appreciates that, even though it is not that important for him, and a person regards it and tries to be thankful for the Creator for that, that makes him appreciate spirituality, and that can give joy to a person, and by that he can acquire adhesion, because it is, as Bala Sulam said, that blessed cleaves to the blessed. Meaning, when one is happy and thanks the Creator, then one feels that the Creator has blessed him by letting him feel something of holiness. Then the blessed cleaves to the blessed. And by this completeness, one can come to true adhesion. And Bala Sulam said that one should picture for oneself that even when he is in utter aloneness, at which time he thinks, if the Creator had given him a little more awakening, then just as he felt once when he was innocent, he would certainly be able to be prepared to work the holy work. Whereas now, where he feels nothing, how can he deceive himself and say that he has completeness? Then he should believe in the sages who told us that one should picture for oneself as though one has already come to feel the existence of the Creator in his every organ, and how he would then thank and praise the Creator. So now he should thank and praise the Creator as though he had already acquired the real completeness. That's the end of the article. The narrator will finish in a second. So that was the article, What is Frive Hardened Heart in the Work? This is from Shlavei Sulam, Holidays Pesach, page 142. The exile in Egypt is the first of four exiles that a person who wants to become Israel must go through in order to reach the purpose of creation. One's purpose, the purpose that was given in advance by the upper force. Meaning, every single one of us, of the parts of Adam HaRishon that were broken, all the parts fell to the abyss of the will to receive, the ego, and must now return to that kli of Adam HaRishon in completeness at the height at the summit, where at the peak where he is equal with the Creator. In order to go back there, one must adopt four levels of youth on the way. Those are called four exiles. What for? Because the light is at rest. And in order for the creature to discover the light and everything it has, the power, the completeness, the eternity, the depth of the pleasures and the pleasure in bestowal, one has to be coarse, has a great deal of youth. It says, from my own flesh will I see the Lord. There's no other way to perceive the Lord but in the walls of the Kli. So it is actually not the light that we feel and perceive, but the Kli that is impressed by the light, or how the light enters the Kli. The Kli, as much as we distinguish its parts, its manifestations, in every form and part and shape in the walls of the Kli, as the more we can distinguish those particles, the more we distinguish particles of the light, pleasures, discriminations, understandings that are in the Creator. Meaning, the Kli is actually a part of the light. If the Kli has a view choice, the light is felt, the Creator is felt only in the level of nefesh, in both quality and quantity, like it has nothing. It just shines a little bit. But there are no observations there. With a greater Kli, a greater Ovyut, with the Ovyut Aleph, you attain the Creator, and all the observations a little more. It's a light of Ruach. It moves, it bestows, it influences, it's alive. Because the Kli has additional coarseness, it feels that there's life in the Creator, vitality. If the Kli has Ovyut Bet, if the Ovyut Bet is added, corrupted Ovyut, and the Kli corrects this Ovyut of Bchina Bet, then through the corrections and doing this work, the Kli can now discriminate in the light that clothes the Kli, not just the light of Nefesh and Ruach, but the light of Neshama, which is already a light of bestowal. The Creator gives. It's the giving of the Creator. And then one justifies the Creator, who is benevolent and so on. And he discovers the guidance of the Creator. If the Kli has gone through another exile and Prina Gimel of Ovyut is added to it, and one corrects the Ovyut Gimel, then he begins to receive in order to bestow. These are observations in the light of Chaya. This is actually receiving pleasures that the Creator had prepared in advance, and he was only actually waiting for a person to develop such a Kli, where in that same Kli where he felt the light of Nefesh, he can now feel the light of Chaya. It all depends on the Yovyut of the Kli and the extent to which a person succeeds in preparing his vessel so as to feel, instead of the light of Nefesh, with motionless or even complete concealment, it can now feel the Ovyut it received and how it corrected it to fineness, discerned the good and bad, the right and left, and therefore feels the light accordingly. And now too we are in a sea of light, which is in complete rest. As it says, I, the Lord, do not change, but everything depends on how much we develop our kli. That from the little point in the heart that we have now, we will expand it to the measurement of the entire heart. Meaning, we will add to this point in us, the point of Bina, the coarseness of the entire heart, the entire Malchut, and that can only come by rising in four discriminations, reaching the fifth one. Each ascent is an addition of Avyut in the left line, Avyut Shor, which is the world of Asiya, Avyut Aleph is the world of Yetzirah, Avyut Bet is the world of Briah, Avyut Gimel, the world of Atzilut, and Avyut Dalet is the world of Adam Kadmon, and so on. So we have to go through a state of hardening the heart. In the beginning, we identify only with a point in the heart and want to cleave to the Creator, reach the root of our soul, but on the way we have drops and unpleasant situations which are called hardening of the heart, where the flesh of the heart, this thickness, coarseness, the ego, must be joined with the point in the heart. And this joining is a gradual process through exiles. We feel it as humiliation, degradation, fall, drawing far from the attribute of Bina, from spirituality. And in this hardening of the heart, there is also a hardening in quality and quantity in our work. We have to accordingly cleanse the kli accordingly in quality and quantity. But in any case, we have to remember that although we have to constantly cleave to the light and want to belong to it, and be contained in it, our work is actually a work within the kli. The more we refine it, the more we refine the desire that awakens in us, and the more these declines, these exiles, the more we overpower them. Although we are in exile, from within the exile, we must come to adhesion with the Creator, to move the left to the right, that's what it's called, so that the Ovyut that we receive in the exile, in the distance, that Ovyut is given to us so that we will refine it, cleanse it, and within this Ovyut the light will clothe and will feel greater every time, richer in observations. In fact, only the thickness of the walls of the kli, which has four discriminations, four levels of avyut, gives us a place to perceive the light, where the light clothes, where we feel it, where we unite with it, where we actually, the light and us become the same, meaning where adhesion takes place between light and kli. By the thickness that we receive during the exile becomes a place where the light sits, where it leans on, or what it leans on. What it leans on? I'm not sure. Where it is. And if not the work inside the kli, then we wouldn't feel the light, which is in complete rest around us. But because we still haven't the overview, we don't feel it. And therefore, our situation is called concealment. That's it. You might also say, that what we have right now is degrees of concealment. While we're inside the will to receive and cannot and still don't want to refine it, to cleanse it, this is the double and single concealment. When we begin to work on it, then we go through the exiles, the exile being a part of the redemption. It is an adding of the left in order to reach the right and the middle. Therefore, every time we feel on ourselves a hardening of the heart that comes to us, we have to understand that this situation comes to us because we have probably become worthy of advancing on top of the thickness of the wall of our Kli. We have to be thankful for all these exiles and these detachments and drops and distancing that we feel, because they are chances to acquire thickness and process it in such a way so as to not add but catch the light. Yes, catch the light. I don't want to swap words. I'm giving it to you straight from my feeling. Yeah, I don't want to change it. That's how we feel. Okay? Questions? Yes. In exile, the soul is in double concealment. Does it mean that it passed all the exiles, or will it, if we are in double concealment? The question is, what is double concealment? Double concealment is a state of a person who works hard to reach, to discover the Creator's face, and fails and falls into situations that are called double concealment. All the observations are observations that the person makes, that it is for the person to determine that at one time he is in double concealment, another time in single concealment. That's what it says. And I will surely hide my face. It is the person who feels the concealment. I will surely hide. It's not that you theoretically say, I'm probably in concealment of the face. Why? I don't feel anything. This must be double concealment. Where did you measure it as double? Ah, I said. Again, that which we do not attain, we do not call by name. That's our law. The wisdom of Kabbalah is a method, a practical method, to reach the degree of the Creator. Only a person who attains can say where he is. No one else. Because what we say only comes from our sensation. That's why a person in the street can say, I'm in double concealment, I don't feel that if the Creator exists, maybe I don't feel that he exists. This is not double concealment. It's just unconsciousness. Double concealment means that in the past I did have some kind of revelation and I discovered that this is the revelation of the Creator who is benevolent, at least to some extent, revelation. And then this good disappeared and instead I seemingly feel bad, I have trouble, but I can still say that these troubles come from him, that he brings me these things. This is called feeling the posterior. This is the single concealment. And then because when the troubles accumulate and the confusions increase, sometimes even the posterior disappear, and I try and feel him through all the complications I'm in, and even that I fail to feel, and then I determine that this is the double concealment, that I can't even feel that the pains come from him. Meaning, a person who kind of woos the Creator and wants to catch him or grasp him in some way determines that he doesn't even have that. Because in the past he felt at least a little bit of a revelation, some awakening, and then fell into darkness, meaning troubles came seemingly from the Creator, as it seems, and then even that disappears. But someone who doesn't see these things, how can he say that the Creator is hidden twice, that this is double concealment? Double concealment means that even that I don't feel that even the troubles come from him. The troubles are the single concealment, and when I don't feel even that, it's another concealment, another cover. Yes. I couldn't hear the question. No. Is there a concealment all along the way? No, of course not. It is written, not forever strife. It says that there is a double concealment and a single concealment, and after that we reach the revelation. The revelation means that from all these concealments that I go through right now, when I try to discover the Creator, but I try to do it not so as to please myself, which is what the will to receive obligates me to do because of my pain. But I have to take a completely different objective. When I want to reach the discovery in order to not condemn the Creator, to say that he gives me the trouble. See, you're grabbing your head already. And because of that, when I have a different objective, you see, then I, in this desire to discover the Creator, in that I need the society, the environment, I need an additional force, because my ego, my will to receive, doesn't pull me forward. I justify the Creator, so I won't justify him, you know. But if it's important, if I develop the greatness of the Creator, and that I begin to care about that, then I have to have a society around me to give me fuel, so that, not so that I'll feel good, but so that I don't curse him. And if I have that inclination, I discover him. He opens up to me as good, and then I can certainly bless him, because that's what I wanted. Now I get it. the Kli has to always precede the light, come before the light. And the first revelation that we discover in the Creator is the discovery of reward and punishment. When he shows us himself as rewarding well for a good deed and punishing for a bad deed. This is how he appears. Why? Because he wants to help us develop further. So I awaken within me all the desires and try to do all kinds of things with them in order to benefit, to be rewarded. But in that reward there are many shades for myself, not for myself to come closer to him. Afterwards, from all these corrections I go through in the disclosed phase, there are 2 degrees there. I reach a state where I see that the truth is that he's always doing good to me. It doesn't matter what I do. But it comes after I cannot do anything bad anymore. And then I see that what he does is only in order to bring me to a state where I will only bestow, and then I'll see that that he doesn't care what you do, but that's when you're up there, it's not in your current level. And this is called he is good and does good to the bad and to the good. And from that feeling you come to feel love. It's called love the Lord thy God, the highest degree. So what am I trying to say? You always work with the Kli, with the thickness of the walls of the Kli, the coarseness. And the will to receive accumulates. But it's not that you fall into concealment. And these drops like in concealment. But this is already a different way of work. In that way you want further of you to appear. You want the obstructions in order to express your feeling, in order to have something further to connect yourself well with the Creator. It's called on the altar or on the chains on top of a yute. You're saying I will always look for pleasure. I want to love the Creator, but in that too I look for pleasure. So in the end that's what I want, pleasure for myself. So how can you love him without wanting any pleasure for yourself? Huh? Good question. If I am a creature, if I am a will to receive, if I consist of a will to receive of an ego, how will I ever be able to get rid of it? It's my nature. You can't. But there's a trick here. You forget that even though that you are now at the worst possible state, farthest state, but the situation you're in, this bad and far situation, is not your real situation. It is presented this way to you deliberately for you to feel it this way. But the truth is that you are already in the Kli of Ein Sof, of Adam HaRishon, that is filled with abundance, lights, and corrections, and everything is in you. The only problem is that you have to return to the state you are in already. If you see yourself as completely detached, completely immersed in your will to receive and your ego, and there is a complete disconnection between you and godliness and soul, you're right. You cannot move yourself to the second, to the other nature. It is impossible. But the problem is that it is all the consumments, every distancing is only in our feelings, in our sensations, in order to make us want to be in a different situation. And to the extent that we want it, that situation you are really in shines on you and pulls you, and you return to it consciously. Your consciousness returns to it. So you have all the, everything is good in you, and it's healthy and it's good, and the light is there and the corrections are there. Everything is there. The only question is, do you want it or not? That's all. The concealment is only toward your own senses. It's not that you're really detached. No. Even now, you are in a state of completeness and adhesion. The Creator created no situation except one perfect situation. But in order to let you want the situation you're already in, understand it, discern a multitude of observations and enjoy it, He hid it from you so that you will want it. Like a person who has no appetite. What can he see? What can he feel? So there are forces, and everything you need is already there, except to awaken to that situation you're in by yourself a little bit. It is much like a person who's unconscious. He has a whole wide world around him and he's taken care of and tended to. But he has to give a little bit of participation. He has to participate a little bit in it by himself. He has to want to regain consciousness. Yes. There's a matter of being a simple Jew, meaning not wanting to have high degrees, but only have the love of the Creator. I don't know, you're saying such weird things. You're saying, oh, there's something called being a simple Jew. What else do you need? What does it mean, a simple Jew? A simple Jew is the highest degree. After a lot of work, a lot of suffering, a lot of nerves, years, that's when you come to that state. What does it mean, a simple Jew? Jew comes from the word unification with the Creator. Simple means that there are no discriminations, no concealments between you and the Creator. This is called a simple Jew. That's what we call a simple Jew. It's like the Vilna Gaon writes, that you begin the Torah with the secret, yes, with concealment. And you slowly come to the literal Torah, where everything is simple, the light is simple, everything is simple, and is revealed. There are no concealments. If you want to reach that situation, you're blessed. But you say, no, I don't want to know anything, I'm going to block the shades, let me live. Well, it's true. That's what we want by nature. First of all, we don't want to suffer. Then, if possible, we want to enjoy a little bit. But we see from historic experience that this approach to life makes life very difficult. It becomes a thriller of torments. It's not going to help us. There's a goal. We have to reach it. Let's say nobody wants it. It's true. We would like to settle for something. You gain wisdom, you gain pain. It's true. But we have no choice. So if you begin to see that you don't have a choice, and you ask, what's the meaning of my life? I'm suffering. What can I do? I can no longer escape the pain. Then the wisdom of Kabbalah gives you a solution. How to reach the good in as less pain as possible, and in the shortest possible time. That's the method. You'll get there anyhow. But just imagine, nature has existed for millions of years before it reached these crystallized, formulated, corrected forms of life. This development, yes, what we call evolution, happens through a force of natural discrimination, through pain and a little bit of sweetening. Do we actually want it? Are we prepared to take it? We're not, because we feel we're very delicate, we're weak. And by that, nature forces us to look, to seek out every means possible to suffer less. And because of that, people came to know nature, the Creator, the upper force, and brought us this system. It is only, you're given a chance. If you don't want to stretch your torments over thousands of years, go ahead, you have a chance. The minute you begin to relate to this method seriously, it becomes pretty sweet. It depends on how you relate to it. But you can sweeten your life by that, so that instead of suffering for 1,000 years, throughout many, many lives, you'll suffer for, I don't know, 50 years or maybe 10 years. No. The minute you begin with this wisdom, life already becomes relatively easy and sweet. It depends on how I relate to it. If I'm one leg here, one leg there, then if I'm sitting on the fence, it's very difficult. But the minute I build a society around me that will show me how good it is, that will make it sweet for me, that will tell me how high it is, how special, then the whole thing becomes very quick and pleasant. Yes. In Shamati, he says that you have to be a simple Jew. You don't have to ascribe to ascending degrees, but only love the Creator. But on the other hand, love for the Creator is a very high degree. So there seems to be a contradiction here. On the one hand, we should have humble aspirations, but on the other hand, we should want to love the Creator, which is a very high degree. I don't know exactly what it says there that you're asking about. There is indeed seemingly a contradiction. What should one want? Either a state of delighting in mercy and wanting nothing but that. This is called being a simple Jew. Jew means unification. simple, okay, let's say it's out of want to receive in order to bestow, but only bestow in order to bestow. Adhesion within the giving. It says that you should hate Rabbanut. Rabbanut is the state of Gadlut. But only remain as Chafetz Chesed, which is the actual Kli. But it depends on the phases you're in. When you're already in a degree of Bina and don't want more than that, when you've reached delighting in mercy and don't want any more, it's a Klipa. It's a show. How can it be that from delighting in mercy, you will not realize the state of delighting in mercy, meaning bestowal. And bestowing from the degree of delighting in mercy is already receiving in order to bestow. However you look at it, from above, you will never be given, you will never be left alone. You are, either you implement it in a good way, quickly and nicely, with your own goodwill, and the desire of the Creator, or you will realize it under torments and pains. But we also work in three lines. It depends on your situation. Sometimes you want only delighting in mercy to cleave to the right line. Once you cling to the right line and you have this delighting in mercy at your disposal, then you can already take the left line and realize it, add it to the right, which is called the middle line. More? Yes. And page 146, it says a greater prayer. So what is a greater prayer? Our prayer when we convene on Pesach is a prayer, first of all, to come out of exile, of course. Balei Sulam writes that our world is built according to the upper world. He explains that we have the concepts of Olam Shana Nefesh, world, year, soul, and how they exist, this inner engine. And Olam Shana Nefesh are, the entire reality is divided by these three parts, world, year, soul. And the division by these three parts and how they exist is called Yud Kei Vav Kei. It comes down from Ensof. It comes as a replica in every single world. Ensof, Agafilut, Beretzel, Asiya. All of them are divided, each and every world, to this world. Olam, the world, meaning the outer part. Nefesh, the soul, inside this world, the inner part. Shana, year, are the situations when that the Olam and Nefesh go vis-a-vis each other, and how they exist, meaning how the upper force guides reality on this level, which is generally called Olam Shana Nefesh. And this concept of Olam Shana Nefesh and their operations, the ways, their modus operandi, they exist on every single level, Ak and Abia. That's why in our world there cannot be more than what comes down from above or less. What happens here is necessarily what happens in itself that comes by replica from world to world, and the only difference is the substance in the worlds. That's why the situation that is called Pesach is when the Kli comes, is redeemed from exile to freedom. when it gets the power of the light from above, so that it can overpower its will to receive and use it in a way that is more like the light. It's called going from exile to freedom. You have to take these desires, the vessels of the Egyptians, and escape Egypt with them, from being influenced by them, to take them out of there and use them correctly. That's on the high levels. That's what happens. And also we can work by way of Adam Shana Nefesh, so that if we use our desire correctly, the lights will come from above and influence us in such a way that we'll exit our will to receive. We'll awaken a little bit. And if we are one great Kli and want the right goal, and within us we prepare with inner and outer efforts to rise to a higher level, to love a little more, to bestow a little more, then these lights that are in Olam Shana Nefesh working in the upper worlds as a replica will come to us because of our desire, our uplifting, our man, and will influence us and will raise us to a higher degree. This is what actually happens according to Kabbalah. This is the actual operation, what we hope that we can do in this coming holiday. That's what we are preparing ourselves for. We know a little more about it, a little less. It's not important. The attraction for it, the desire for it works. We hope that when we are together, we'll awaken each other and come to a great desire for the correct thing. And then when we are necessarily in levels of Olam Shana Nefesh and how they exist in the still world, in the world of Asiyah, we will get from above, according to our desire, the forces that will raise us to a higher degree. Because the hardening of the heart that we have right now is in order to exit it. Okay? Yes. You said that we have to go through the exiles in order to increase our youth and correct it. But we begin the correction with the souls of Israel because we are the finest souls. So why do we begin the correction from the souls of Israel? Why does the correction begin with Israel and not the nations of the world? By nature, the Creator created the will to receive. That is the root of the nations of the world. This will to receive must be corrected to acquire the degree of adhesion with the Creator. Like the Creator, the nations of the world are called the creatures, these desires. And we have to bring this will to receive to the level of the Creator to bestow. In order to do it, we have to instill in this will to receive sparks of bestowal and mix these sparks of bestowal with the will to receive in such a way that the will to receive will be able to receive in order to bestow, which is how it gives. The substance of bestowal that is instilled, that is injected into the will to receive, to mix and help the world to receive be corrected. It's called Israel. Israel. That's why Israel is not a nation like all the other nations. It is the chosen nation, a special nation, in order to reach all the nations of the world, the general will to receive, mix with him, give them the method to correct and help them correct. This is the assignment of Israel. Israel that, through exiles, through the breaking, the first temple, the second temple in our world, doesn't matter. They mingle with the nations of the world and mix with them. After they mingle with them in four exiles, we are now at the end of the last exile. They have to show the nations of the world the method of correction and begin to correct themselves. Gargalta and Naim must first be sorted out from the mixture of all the parts. You have Israel and you have the nations of the world. You have Israel in the nations of the world and the nations of the world in Israel. So first, the finest part must be corrected. Why? Because it's easiest. By the light that is given from above, the lighter parts, the lightest parts, float above this mixture and they begin to correct. This is called Israel in the reality of all worlds. So now they have to correct and reach adhesion with the Creator. When after them they draw these achats, the nations of the world in which the Gagalta Anaim is mixed. And we see that in the nations of the world there are people who join us all over the world, and there'll be thousands and millions. There'll be a great many. And I'll tell you why. We can't see it yet, but we don't know where our nation is. If you make a simple calculation, if the nation of Israel, say, during before the breaking, when there was a state, 3, maybe 5 million people, there were many people. When they left Egypt, there were maybe 3 million people. If you take into account the development, or even less, meaning natural multiplication, then you might think we are 2 billion people. But where are we? Where are those Reuven, Shimon, God? Where are all those tribes? So we don't know who are the Gadalta Anaim, who are the Israel that should awaken and reach the corrections. We don't know about it. And perhaps we'll find it in a very surprising way. But in any case, or maybe we'll think these are Gentiles, nations of the world who join Gagalta Anaim, or maybe it's a part of our ancient nation that is now resurfacing. It's not important. Anyone who comes is welcome. And any place, any person has a place at the end of correction. But we do have to begin with Israel because it's the finest part in the broken vessels. Okay? Yes. It's written that they weren't given the Torah before they pledged to the Avot. But we are learning the Torah first, and only afterwards we pledge for the Avot. In the article Matan Torah, the Revelation of Godliness, it is written that they were given a condition. If you pledge to Avot, you get the Torah. If you don't, I'll bury you there. Nice conditions. See, the Creator doesn't play around. So you're saying we're doing it the opposite way. We're learning Torah and only afterwards thinking if we want to take it or not. And if we see that we don't have a choice, then we should take it. Okay, then we agree. Well, all right. We'll play with Avot. We learn Torah. The light in it influences us, reforms us a little bit, brings us a little bit more wisdom and understanding of what we should do, and then we take upon ourselves the condition of Avot. Did you ever think it was any different? Any person you take off the street will agree to Avot. What is it needed for? I'll tell you, it'll take a long time for you with all the effort that you will put in the study and you work in the group and all kinds of things. It says, whatsoever thy hand attaineth to do by thy strength, that do, before you even agree and understand what Avot is and agree to it. Because we cannot make any inner motion toward understanding, feeling, discerning, and somehow deciding, unless the lights come to us from above and shine on us and give us those observations. And this comes only by laboring in study, in the group and whatnot. It's completely mindless effort. I don't know what I'm doing, but it says so I do. We begin from zero, like babies. We throw our hands and legs, we don't know where we are, we don't know anything. But slowly we grow, we gain some insights, we learn where we are. They arrange it so that it'll be comfortable for us to understand, to study. It is arranged in such a way that the environment always increases us, teaches us. I give them some smarter toy, maybe an obstacle to overcome. Yes, what do children get? Yes, you get these circles. Put them on the stick or something. It's a hardening of the heart. These games. That's how they learn. They do it. They don't even know why. Do they know why they do it? They don't. That's how we are. So, before you say, we reach our Avot after we're smart. We're not smart. Only then do you begin to feel what you're getting at. The wisdom of Kabbalah is a system that is actually the most natural. If you look at it from a side or from afar afterwards, you'll see its entire how comprehensive it is. You'll see that it is completely natural. There is nothing artificial about it. What Kabbalists actually open up to us is a way, the most natural way to educate ourselves according to our own structure. There's nothing unnatural here, even when they say go above reason. Do something supernatural, yes? Jump over it. No. This is also like a child who does things he doesn't know why. He makes an effort like a game without knowing what will happen. Going above reason is the same. We pretend to be in a higher degree than we are. It's the same game. There is no other way to grow. And not long ago I discovered that now in science they found it too, that games, nature uses it to intensify everything in quality and quantity. Everything in nature, from one cell to another, from a vegetative degree to an animate degree, the ascent in a level or in multiplication is done by something called a game. That's how it is imprinted in nature. And that's why it's a very natural thing. Biologists and physiologists now determine when they study how we grow in the inner systems of our body, how every animal and animate develops. They say that it is like we as people grow, meaning by games we grow in levels where everything is determined by absolute laws. So they are the same laws as inside us. So game above reason is also a great thing. So what Kabbalah teaches us is the most general law of development, of evolution. It tells you that if you want to, how should I say it, to be in the best possible situation, the most comfortable situation, then you should know that law, because you're already developing it by it. So you just want to get into it, match yourself with it, adapt yourself to it, and then you, I should say, you'll swim along with this flow without any obstructions. That's the purpose of this method. That's it. I asked it because the Torah writes about a process we have to go through. So we're doing something that seems to be opposite, so that's why I asked. No. Whether we like it or not, you will go through what's written there as it is written there. Because all that they want from you is that you will know the process before you go through it and agree with it and participate to some extent in it. To the extent that you participate willingly instead of pains and pressure that you get from this process, because you will still have to participate. If you do it willingly, it is desirable to you and you feel it is pleasant. That's all. There is no other difference. You save both time and pain when you don't want it, when you resist it. The process is the same. It can't be any other way. So if that's the process you have to go through in a spiritual progress, that's why I asked. So I'm telling you, you can't have any discriminations if the light doesn't come to you from above and gives you those discriminations of where you are. The avut and recognition of the need for avut comes after the light brings you this need. You're not getting this point. There cannot be any discrimination on the way if not through the upper light that comes to you and gives you these observations. You have to go through a great deal of effort before you reach avut. It is written, the children of Israel, before they came to Mount Sinai, they went down to Egypt. They worked for 7 years, through the 7 good years and the 7 bad years, and the plagues and with Pharaoh and the Red Sea, and the 3 days before they came to the mountain. All these are observations discriminations that one experiences by which he comes to the to Mount Sinai, at which point one finds that if he doesn't adopt the approach of love that friends by itself, he doesn't have the kli where the light can enter, which is called the reception of the Torah, the reception of the upper light. That's it. So we have to go through this phase. I wish we can do it, we could do it more quickly, and in the end we come to that phase. It's done by the upper light from above. It's still not the Torah. The Torah is the light that appears in the corrected vessel. Yes. I don't know what the Ovut is. So what? Oh, you don't know what Ovut is? Yes, I do know what it is. What is Ovut? You want to buy something big, and you don't have the money. Yes, you don't have the strength, the money. You need some foreign strength. So you ask someone to add this strength, to sign for you. What is he sign for? That you will pay. If you don't pay, he will. What are you signing in the Ovut? That you will bestow. Your friends say, instead of you, we vouch that you will reach bestowal. We guarantee. They add you the to you the desire that you don't have, and that gives you something you don't deserve as yet, at their expense. Why? Why should that happen? We built something artificial in our world, the Ovut. But how can I receive something from above when I don't deserve it yet? Just because others help me? What is this? It's like, am I going to receive lights without vessels? No. No. In order to get this force of Ovut from the side, the additional force, without which you will not get from above the light, you have to labor and make efforts in them on the level where you can give them and pay them for their Ovut, and they in return will help you. And without help from others, you will not have the kli to receive the light from above. Why this condition? Very simple. By that, you connect with the other souls, like in the kli, in the spiritual level, where all the souls are connected. So they say, you want to get what you have in a higher level, where you're connected with the other souls? In our world, in our level, do something similar, somewhat like it. And if you do it, you awaken lights, and they come to you and begin to raise you to a level where you are connected with others. So from this artificial game, again, from this artificial game that you're playing with your friends, you're pretending to love them. Of course, it's all fake. It's all false. There is no love. But because you agree to play, to act it out, in order to reach a higher level, you really do get from above the strength that raise you to a higher level. So this is exactly like the Ovut in our world. You get additional strength from the other. Why? Because on a spiritual level, you are connected with them, and you get the powers from them, and fill the collective vessel. So in our world, it works by the same way. All the more so, the vessels you can fill with lights are the vessels of the other. Whereas your own kli is not even a kli, it's just a desire to connect other souls to yourself. Your own soul is a point. It's got no volume. The volume comes from accumulating from others. So it turns out that the Ovut, the desires, the forces that you get from others are the actual kli where you can receive the upper light and begin to live. And if you don't take it from them, get this help from them, there is nothing that can grab the light. Only a point where the surrounding light can just awaken you to do something, to create the avod, to connect a few alien forces together, desires together. So again, there's a game here, and matching with Olam Shana Nefesh, meaning with a higher form, and attracting lights, and in this act called Ovut, you're making use of the entire reality. We still have to learn it and feel and see how it happens. But this is the only way. There's no other way to exit the corporal level from the corporal level to the spiritual level. Only by taking alien forces like you take them in the spiritual level when you're all embraced. Now, it doesn't matter how much you understand about it. If you come among us and you mingle with us in this act as much as you can, you know, like a baby on its mother's hands. It can't make a move. It can't make one step, but it's taken through miles, maybe. So you can belong to society, to connect with it, and really get great things. Afterwards, because you mingle in society, you're contained in it, you'll also begin to be able to do these things from within, but from your own level. That's how you want to do it. What you just described is something we always try to do. Of course, now too, we try to do this avut, but what we really want to do is the situation of Mount Sinai. It is a collective effort, a relatively short-term effort, focused, concentrated, highly concentrated, which is like a spiritual assault on the Creator. Is there importance in the quantity? There is importance in the quantity and the quality of the people, and together it creates the power. It's pretty obvious, right? Yes. You present it as a game. Not official game. Avot is a game, or all spiritual activities are called game, because you grow by them. You grow only by games. I'll tell you. Game is not what we think it is. It's not something cheap or simple. Business, our business, our financial systems in the world are also a game. There are many, many elements there. Everything you want to grow, to develop to some extent, the transition from one level to the next, the way by which it suddenly adds to something that existed before is by an act called a game or playing. We may not call it that in our world, but this is exactly what it is. Why do we want to do business, to develop, to play games? Of course, yes, casino or football or whatnot. Our lives are filled with games. Without it, we'd be beasts. The difference between a person and a beast is that a person grows and adds. And that's done by playing in our lives. It is a word that we've gotten used to But this is how it is. Why? Because I want to read something I don't know, I don't feel, I still don't perceive it. I haven't acquired. So how do I reach it? This effort to jump from where I am to something else, this is called a game. If I want to play this game, not on our level, where I grow as a beast, but I want to do it spiritually, I want to grow on a spiritual level, I have to understand that what is a spiritual degree? It is when I'm connected with others, and that creates the kli of Adam HaRishon, the collected soul, where there is the light called Creator. So I have to adapt myself to that state with society, with a few people. That's what I need. So let's play with it. Let's start doing things as if we're in it. By doing these things as if we're in it already, like children play, we draw lights from above that really do pull us to that state, to that level. These are the surrounding lights. They pull us. And this is how everyone grows. In spirituality, it is, well, it's clear that it happens through lights. But even in corporeality, in this world, but it's done by lower lights, by more lights, by lights that are more designated to our world, to our level. But the difference between the games on the level of our world, where I want to become grown up, or I want to be richer, or I want to be wiser or more knowledgeable, this is all done by games in this world. I may not need society, or I can use them egoistically and so on. But if I want to grow, not on the same plane, but I want to grow in height, then I have to play accordingly. I have to take as an example a spiritual form. And then the lights that come to me are lights that are called surrounding lights. They don't help a child growing up. Everything is done by lights from above. But they are still lights. They develop a person on the same level. They make a person greater on the same level. But when I draw lights because I want to resemble a more spiritual degree, I draw lights of a different kind, where they change my interior. Those are the surrounding lights. In fact, those are lights that fill me in my corrected states that already exist. That's where I get the help from. In fact, I pull myself to a state where I already am in Insof. That's why we don't actually do anything new. All our situations exist already. We are corrected in all the spiritual degrees. But with our desire, we express our desire for those situations. And then the light, the upper light that comes down to us, raises us to those situations according to our desire, to our efforts. And that effort, we hope that we can perform when we all come together from all over the world. But the light is always the same, it doesn't change. The light is in complete rest, but it works on you according to your desire. See? Perhaps in this space here, We have speakers, and we listen to this nice music. For some people, it's not so nice. Some cats or dogs or animals don't even know what music is. You might sit here and be moved, touched to tears, and a cat will sleep next to you and will not know what your problem is. So we are surrounded by the upper light completely, but our impressions are what we feel for of it. That's what impresses us. So we have to make ourselves feel more, be closer to it. We have to want more to be in touch with it. Then it'll act on us more. That's the only difference. We're all in the same situation. It depends on us how that situation, how that light influences us. Yes. I want to ask about the deficit, the need for spirituality. I think that's why we're all here. Can we say that we have already completed all our desires in previous lives? You're asking this. If I'm here already, and I have a desire to now advance somehow to spirituality, well, I don't know, but something that gets me out of bed, makes me sit here at 5 a.m., there's a reason, yes? There's a desire. It's stronger than sleep. So, have I completed all the other desires, and all I've left are desires of spirituality, or not? See, he's laughing. What does that mean? Now, you were given the discovery of the desire for spirituality. It is a stronger desire than any other desire you have experienced throughout all your incarnations until this point. Now you're sitting here. You're beginning to intensify your desire for spirituality through this study. You want to connect yourself, to attach yourself to some spiritual thing. But how will you do it? The desire you have is very small. In order to intensify it, now you will get something called the hardening of the heart. You will get some obstructions. Say, you'll suddenly want money or honor again. It's called the left line. The desires in the left line are increased, and then you see, well, I have a desire for spirituality, but there's something else. I have to make money. I have to put something for the future, you know. It's important. And then again, you seemingly escape there, get some blows, some troubles there. See, well, this is worthless. This is not important. And come back here again. And you might be in this, it's called catapult, for several months, or for some people it takes several years. Some people have left us and they return after several years. You know, the Creator has time. It might take a few lives too. It all depends on the group. Here it depends on the group, because if you want to save this back and forth, you want spirituality, corporeality again and again. So if you want to spare yourself this, you have to equip yourself with additional forces. Baratulam determines it in the article Freedom of Choice, that by that you shorten the time. I can't even express, I can't even tell you how much you shorten the way. Let's say instead of 200 years, it'll take 200 days. Is there a difference? That's how it is. Or even less. It all depends on the concentration of your effort to go into the one tool called society, environment, social environment, to get the forces out of them that you need to advance. Actually, what I take from them is those parts of my own soul that I'm already connected with in a higher degree. So I very, very quickly connect with them together, and the minute I have this awakening to very quickly connect with them in the same kli, in order to, as much as possible, absorb lights, acquire this kli and connect it with me, and build such a system, such relationships with them, that I will not fall. The more obstructions I get from the left line, the more my kli should grow in greater avyut, so that I, with thicker ropes, tie myself to the others, and thus I will constantly add strength to myself. This is because what you have, your current strength of spirituality is very small. And what you've been through in all your lives, when you've been through all your desires for money and honor and knowledge, is nothing compared to what you will be given. What you've been given throughout your lives until this day was only to advance like a beast on the same plane. But now you have to start advancing in height toward the Creator. These are obstructions that also clothe in money and honor and knowledge, but these are obstructions. These are new obstructions. They're different. They're much stronger. They stand opposite a desire for spirituality. They're much stronger. It's written that from the minute the temple was ruined, the taste of, well, it's actually orgasm, was left only for the servants of the Creator. You will want sex and food and money, the lowest things, the most animate things. You will want them like you've never wanted them before. It's just so excessively exaggerated. So these desires, the spirituality, the left line, these are actually desires for the Creator, but they come to you clothed in corporal pleasures. Desires for corporal pleasures. I've been studying with Nebuch for 6 months at the Point of the Heart in Tel Aviv. I'm studying with a very in a huge society, 1,000 people maybe. I look at the want for the desires for advancement, for money, for a lot of things. The thing is that I don't see with people there the approach, a thought about spirituality, but oftentimes one tries to trample the other. What's your question? The question is, you once said, I wanted to ask this, but I didn't have time. You said that people have a desire for honor, money, and all that. If these people have no desire for honor and money, who will do this work? That's what I wanted to do. The work of this technology. Someone has to do it. Aha, so you're saying this. Today, we are in a world that is great. Big world. We have 7 billion people. There are not enough caves populate all those people. We have to build houses. We can't just go into the forest and take eat roots and grasses and, I don't know, catch an animal and eat it or something. Today we need cages and stables and We have no choice. We have to live in a technological society. We have to develop. Otherwise, we'll just... Now the question is, there's only one question. How can we reconcile the two things? On the one hand, we want spirituality. On the other, we have to continue with our ordinary way. The world must continue, and we have to, first of all, unlike any other spiritual method, Kabbalah says that indeed we have to live in this world realistically, in advance, and behave and use this world properly and do our duty to society. Bala Sulam says that in the article The Last Generation, that one must work even more than he would work for money in order to realize his position in society. So no one says that from now on you have to drop your ordinary life, run away from your family, from home, from your work, from your obligations. No. You're told only to do those same actions, operations, while asking why you do it. Because there's a goal, there's a reason for it. The minute you begin to, through your intentions, advance internally to the purpose of the entire world, all the operations in the world, operations by people like you, become purposeful operations. The difference between purposeful and unpurposeful operations, just like people do today, they don't know why they do it. The difference is that in purposeful operations, you awaken surrounding lights. Even if you generate electricity, and another person makes shoes and another person builds houses, it doesn't matter. But if you think why you do it, that in every act you have a spiritual purpose, by that you awaken surrounding light from above that fills your, that fulfills your actions, and then your actions become blessed, and then you reach an abundance that you just don't know what it is, how the act becomes fruitful. And besides determining a new approach between the members of society, the entire world becomes more balanced, on the same level, and not that one person will have billions and another will have nothing to eat. It changes everything in the world. We don't have to worry about how the systems will function, because our systems today are all unnatural. They are artificial systems that we built to match our individual egos, and that's why they have no right to exist. They, how should I say, the benefit from them is close to zero. Even the technological systems that we build egoistically has maybe a 2%, 5% of benefit. How much? You tell me. Say in a power station or an engine, how much does it utilize? How much power do you get for the effort? How much, what's the efficiency of it? Maybe 1, 2, 5%. That's how it is in every system. Because we built them with our egoistic minds. If we had built them differently, you can't even imagine how you would build it. But those systems, even the technological, the technical systems would be different and would bring you the efficiency. Close to 100%. If your intention and approach to this world, to what you do in this world and what you build, if it were in order to bestow, then with your tiny investment you would get in return a million times more. How? Why? I only invested 10 grams. So I'll get something for it. No. You would get something like 100 tons. Because the light would come into it, the upper light. Because, you know, a part of the soul, the power of the Creator would come in, the Creator would act. We don't even understand how these systems in this world, how the systems can change in a way that I don't even have the words to explain it. Maybe we'll talk about it one day. How it will really be in the last generation. It's not lost. It'll be. So all will start from scratch? Of course, we'll start from scratch. Nature will function differently. You will put a log in an oven, but you won't get 0.5% of efficiency of heat when it burns. You'll get 1,000% of heat. We don't understand. We're not utilizing it. Even take the Einstein formula, E equals mc squared. How much energy do you get in one atom? But it's not a spiritual force. This is just the ideal formula. If we could get everything we could as energy, but I'm talking about spiritual force is much more than that. So don't worry, you should be concerned with how to come to use ourselves and nature this way. Nature is only a shadow of us. We can utilize it on a completely different level. And the truth is that science, the real science that will be in the future, will be based only on using substance and systems with the aim to bestow, and then we will see that inside the substance we have an endless amount of energy. There's no problem. And the systems, the communication systems, they'll all fall. We won't need a lot of things that will be completely different, will function completely differently. We built things completely redundant. We always do. It'll be very interesting for the entire world. I think today we all feel egoistic to one extent. You know, we have these examples, like it says in the Gemara that he who said to the oil burn will say to the vinegar burn. It doesn't matter. It all depends on the intent, on how much you can realize, implement things around you, utilize them. I don't know how to say this. You will build engines, systems that have an endless supply, an endless efficiency. It depends only on the upper light, on how much you intend to bestow. It'll go through you. You connect the spiritual force with the corporal substance. It depends on your intention. But if you're in between and you have the right intent, I'm telling you, you'll be given half a glass of water, it'll be enough for your entire life. This is interesting to see. Only through the thoughts. Yes, please. You said that the will to receive grows and intensifies in the spiritual way. Is society the only framework that should help me in that? Or is society the system, the only mechanism that can help me? I don't know what can help me or cannot help me. I seek how I can rise from the level of this world to a higher level. That's it. So, what can I do to rise? What does it mean to be in a higher level? I open a book that explains to me what a higher level is. I'm told a higher level means that you are a part of the common kli, and because you give everyone, and everyone gives everyone, including you, what the entire kli has, you have individually. It's not like in our world, we come together, let's say we all give 100 shekels, and we want to buy something, and everyone can take back according to what he put in. This is different. We all make our investments, and then what this entire kli has, each person will have. So each person will have the entire fulfillment that is in the kli. I'm told this is a situation called spirituality. This kli is acquired by coming together, all of us. Why do I need to do it? They say, look, this was connected to begin with and filled with light. In order for you to feel the situation as you should, acquire it, come to this degree by yourself, then this thing broke into the level of this world, and here we are all disconnected from each other, so that we come together again. So I have only two situations. One, that I'm here, and one that I can be in spirituality, eternity, homeless. Now the only question is, how do I reach it if I decide that it's enough for me, that I've suffered enough, and I'll still have to ascend? So how do I accelerate the situation and raise myself to this level, this situation? That's what we're learning, that's what we're trying to do, that's it. There's not that much choice here. We can only choose to accelerate the development, and that's it. This is all the free choice that we have. From your current state of disconnection from others, you have to come to a connection with others. You have no choice. And the way from down up is the same way by which you came down before you were born into this world. Meaning all the steps are already, they already exist. Everything is sealed and ready. You can only climb back up more quickly and more comfortably. Either you suffer or you do it with pleasure. That's all. We are not given that many options. After I learn it and I see that, okay, I guess I have no choice, then we try and help each other do it. Technically it sounds very simple, but I'm sure it's a lot more complicated. Even if it's very complex and there are many details about it, the complexities come from our own character and confusions that we're given deliberately so that we will once more find that everything is really simple. Besides what I said, there's nothing. The rest is only... It says God has made man upright, and but they have made many calculations. So there's only one straight way to reach godliness. But to find it, we have to go through this, all these confusions. Yes. You said that we either have a desire for spirituality, but then you get a desire for knowledge and honor. Can't they come together? Can't spirituality for spirituality and for money or honor, spirituality and knowledge, spirituality and control? They can be, of course. And not only can it be, but we have to use both together. We have to combine them. It is called receiving in order to bestow. You are forbidden to erase any desire for money, for honor, for knowledge, for power, anything. No desire should be thrown away. You will need it. Keep it. You will need it. And the real use of any desire can only be in a form of bestowal. Because when you receive, you don't satisfy any desire. How much money did you want? But did you find any person who has enough money? No. And honor? No. They're miserable. I remember Yaffa Yarkoni, she's a famous singer in Israel. I've spoken to her several times. I remember she was willing to pay in order to perform, not to get paid. You see? Things like that. See, you can't fulfill. You can't satisfy the vessels. The real satisfaction is only if you give. Then they're constantly satiated, and then you get more desire, and then you get more satiation, and it, because it remains, it doesn't disappear. That's why spirituality is eternal. The sensation is eternal. I constantly add. And in our world, I never add anything. I just now bought a beautiful car. I wanted it so much. After a week, I'm used to it. I don't enjoy it anymore. See? So using the real use of the desire is when you change the intent to bestow. Kabbalah teaches us how to really enjoy life, how to really receive, because that's the purpose, to delight his creatures, to do good to his creatures, to reach the maximum amount of pleasure. That is what we call eternal and complete life. So don't be afraid. Honor, money, power, you'll get everything. They will. We can't see how it can be in a form of bestowal, not in me but outside me. But no, don't, right now don't give anything. Don't run to give anything. But the implementation of your entire potential is only in spirituality. You do not erase or stop yourself from doing anything. On the contrary. Okay? Well, I see that we... Yes. Well, go on. Is there any way that we can do something with desire for money, for honor, that we can add to it the intention to bestow? You're asking this. Okay, you convince me, we have to give. Bottom line, what do we do? What you do is simple. Every operation that we talk about, the light performs, not we. And the light comes as much as we understand how it works and want it to work. That's why we have to study. And the light will influence and will build in us the understandings and the discriminations and the observations, and will accordingly act in us. And then we'll understand what it does. And with these operations, we will once more reach further and deeper understandings and so on. It cannot be that a person will advance by just acts in this world. Well, so how do I bestow? To whom do I bestow now? There's no one to bestow to. These are spiritual operations. They occur by, first and foremost, your internal preparation. So you have to come not once every 6 months, but twice a week, okay? That's it. Now, if we're talking about this coming holiday, then you want to participate in it as much as possible. Participation in this kind of effort that we do together, when you participate in it for several days, covers a lot of things, a lot of efforts, a lot of lessons, a lot of participation that you would normally do in your regular time. Just throw yourself into the sea. That helps. And this is not a situation where you should normally sit here at 3 a.m. This is a different effort. And you use other people's powers, and that will give you the strength to continue afterwards. That's why it's highly recommended. I remember how my Rav would always look forward to the holidays, to the participation in the holidays. He always prepared us for an assault, for a charge. A holiday like Pesach or Sukkot that we do is a time of charging, of assaulting, attacking. Well,